Turkish voters handed President Tayyip Erdogan a decisive victory this weekend, extending his 16-year grip on power. Erdogan has already consolidated executive power during his tenure as president. Sunday's election gives him even more power over the judiciary and legislature. Critics say Turkey is at risk of becoming an authoritarian state. In the lead-up to the election, 19 international freedom of expression organizations sent a joint letter to Erdogan demanding the release of jailed journalists and a restoration of an impartial judiciary. Aslide Intashbash is a journalist in Istanbul and a senior fellow at the European Council on Foreign Relations, and she joins me now. Asla, welcome.
Hi, good to be here.
So the sense on the ground among Turkish voters today is what? We saw Erdogan with a 52% win, correct?
Yes, and it's higher than expectations. The feeling among pollsters must be not so good this morning because they've nearly all failed. But I have to say, AKP supporters have celebrated on the streets last night, Erdogan's supporters. But the other half of the country, meaning the non-52%, the 48%, is suffering from a bit of a heartbreak. I think the opposition campaign was very energized. The opposition was united for the first time in 16 years of Erdogan reign. And I think that there was the expectation that this would go for a runoff, that he wouldn't attain the 51% necessary to renew his mandate. That did not happen. It was a decisive victory last night. And, you know, maybe it's a bit of a heartbreak on the opposition camp this morning.
Now, tell us a little bit about how this election was conducted. Was this considered a fair election?
The atmosphere going into the elections was certainly not fair in the sense that you had one politician in jail, only able to pass on messages via Twitter or social media as relayed by his lawyers. And then the main opposition party, CHP, had a new candidate who managed to attain 31% within less than 2 months. But many of his rallies were not broadcast. In fact, nearly all of President Erdogan's speeches and all his speeches are broadcast on all networks on television, but not the opposition. So that's only one of the many examples of the government's control over media. Other problems were going into the elections. I think both the opposition and the incumbent party was really keen on protecting the ballots. So you had ballot observers in some places, tension in parts of the country. You have to see Turks watching their ballots. I actually took part in the ballot counting in my own district and where I voted. We had 18 people in the room counting, all political parties and some citizens. And that was across the country, in some cases leading to very tense moments. You could see that as people taking matters into their own hands and democracy at play. But you could also see that as a sign of the deep polarization and distrust in Turkish society.
Now, does this give Erdogan a mandate? We've already known he's been in power for nearly two decades now. This was a democratic election. Does he feel at this point he has a mandate? And is there really a future without Erdogan at this point?
Long term is unknown. I can't answer that. But clearly, he now has a mandate to rule. He will also be ruling under an entirely new system because we had a referendum last year, which similarly passed with 51% of the vote. He will have an executive presidency consolidating nearly all power in his own hands. But he will also have to deal with an economic downturn, a very serious one. And he will also be beholden to his coalition partners, ultra-nationalists, both in parliament and in terms of governing the country. So, yes, he is almighty and all-powerful, but he still has to deal with a split country and he still has to rely on ultra-nationalists in order to be able to govern.
Aslide Intashbash is a journalist in Istanbul and a senior fellow at the European Council on Foreign Relations. Asla, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.